Thanks so much for joining us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're going to take a look at agroforestry next on the program. It's been practiced around the world for centuries, including in the Midwest. And we'll be talking about it today and what it is and how it's being used in our neck of the woods. And we'll also hear about an event in Madison that's teaching about regenerative agriculture. Michael Bell with us. Great to have him with us in the studio. He's the Philip David Lowe and Vilas Distinguished Achievement Professor of Community and Environmental Sociology at the UW-Madison. It's great to have him with us. And as we talk with Michael, I hope you'll join in with your own questions about growing crops right along trees and shrubs. Let us know what your interests are, and perhaps in a new way of growing crops. Or maybe tell us why you're passionate about regenerative agriculture. Love to hear from that perspective as well. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Michael, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
It's really a pleasure, and it's a pleasure to be here to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is trees and farming, how we can bring the two together.
What's the history of agroforestry? That's what it is, trees and crops together.
Exactly, and also shrubs as well. Well, you know, the history is as old as eating. We've been eating off trees. They give us so much, Larry. They give us food. They give us shade. They give us habitat. They give us air, too, because they're a very important part of giving us oxygen. And as well, they sequester carbon. Oh, they give us so much. But, you know, I mean, I think sometimes we take them for granted. And that really the agroforestry movement is about really celebrating what they have done for us for so long and what they can do for us in the future.
How popular would you say it is in Wisconsin, agroforestry?
Well, it depends whether you're talking about agroforestry. Oh, I know I'm doing agroforestry versus whether I'm actually doing agroforestry. I didn't even know I was doing that. So about a third of agricultural land in the United States is actually woodland. If you look at the land that is held by farmers for farming, about a third of it is woodland. And people commonly across Wisconsin are doing one of the most delicious forms of agroforestry, and that is maple syrup. Right, so it's very widespread. It's an old practice. Maple syrup, that was something, of course, that the native folks already, they taught everybody else how to do that. And they were so right. It's so good. And there's so many other really tasty, wonderful things that we can do with integrating trees and shrubs back more into our agriculture.
So this fits into the concept of regenerative agriculture. I say about a week ago, I talked with Dick Cates Jr. Richard Cates has a new book out. It's called A Creek Runs Through This Driftless Land.
I own the book myself. Dick is an old friend. I was out at his farm just 6 weeks ago. So what a delight to be following after Dick.
So it's this whole business of regenerative agriculture. Talk about what it really involves.
Well, and the Cates farm is such a good example of that. But we want to give an agriculture a chance to actually restore itself, just as it is restoring us year by year by year. So an agriculture that doesn't run down the land, but actually lifts it up. Oh, that's what we really see at a place like Dick Cates' farm.
Yeah, what would you say qualifies as regenerative agriculture? And certainly his farm would be an example of it, but are there other examples that may be lesser examples of as compared to his?
Well, there's so many ways, but if I had to give a definition, I would say a regenerative farm is one that gives back as much as we take from it. So does it restore as it goes? Does it build the soil up? You know, soil health is so crucial. And I have this lab that we've started. We call it, you know, we like to call things labs in the College of Agriculture, even when we're social scientists. So we have our Soil Health and Agroecological Living Lab, which is a long name.
Yeah.
Acronym is SHAL, Soil Health and Agroecological Living Lab. And I think that's really also part of the message of regenerative agriculture is the positiveness. You know, sometimes people say, oh, the farmers, they're poisoning us, they're eroding the land away. And farmers get irritated by this, and rightly so. And I think so many of what we need to communicate is how we can and we are restoring the land at the same time as we're taking and eating from it.
Yeah. So as we think about agroforestry, there are different systems and different kinds of ways that it is applied. Let's talk about some of those ways.
I'd be happy to, yeah. So generally in agroforestry, they like to think of five different forms.
Okay.
And I'm getting my PowerPoint slide out here in the mind for your audience. Okay. There, number one there on the PowerPoint slide right there at the top is something which has been going on so long in Wisconsin agriculture, which is windbreaks.
Mm-hmm.
Windbreaks, of course, they break the wind. They also help cool the land. And as well, they hold on to the soil and are so important and keeping more moisture as well. So by not drying things out. So not just preventing the crop from not being knocked over and the soil from blowing away, but in those other ways too. Another, number two on the slide, is silvopasture. So that is getting trees out onto the pasture and providing shade for the livestock so they're cool in the summer and so they're protected more in the winter. You can do that two different ways. You can either add trees onto a pasture, or you can subtract trees out of an existing woodland and introduce grass. They do both ways. Another is riparian buffers, so getting trees along our riverbanks and stream banks, helping slow water movement, you know, so we don't get those mm-hmm. flash floods like that horrible thing that's just happened in Texas, that awful tragedy. Get the trees out there. That's really going to help with that. Another is alley cropping. So that's when you plant lines of trees or shrubs in between conventional crops. And that has all the effect of helping hold on to the soil and keeping the moisture and holding the wind down as well. And then the other is what they sometimes call forest farming. That's number five on the slide. And what they sometimes also call food forests. So that's when we actually eat straight out of the forest. And, of course, the classic example there is our maple syrup, but also there's forest botanicals and mushrooms and so many other delicious ways we can eat with trees.
Yeah, that's a lot to talk about. The alley cropping was kind of interesting to me. I'm trying to think about places in Wisconsin where it's being used, because this is very intentional. You're growing rows of trees, right?
That's right. Yep.
And then there's probably a little space for working around the trees or within the trees. But then down the middle of these rows, you plant. What do you plant?
Well, you could plant anything. You could plant corn. You could plant soybeans. You could plant alfalfa. You could plant really any field crop. And I think this is an important potential technique because we're not talking about, oh, let's get rid of row crops or some silly thing like that, but how we can integrate the trees into row cropping and help make our row cropping more regenerative, holding onto the soil, holding onto the water, giving habitat, and also giving more things to eat.
Yeah, and where do we see that in the state? Do we have some examples of row cropping in the state?
You mean alley cropping?
I'm sorry, alley cropping?
Well, some, yeah. It's a newer technique. It takes a little bit more investment, right? And we also have to look to how we can make sure that with the lands of perennials that farmers are not losing income. So there's a lot of work going on to develop things like hazelnuts. We have delicious potential hazelnuts from the Midwest. They're smaller than the hazelnuts you often see in the market that we get out of Europe. But they're so, it's like you took all the taste of a hazelnut and you shrunk it into a smaller nut. All the flavor in half the size of the nut. They're so good. So there's hazelnut industry is really coming along now. But with all of these things, we have to also not just look at what's happening on the farm, but how it can be processed and marketed. You know, if you're just one farmer selling hazelnuts, yeah, okay, maybe you can do something, you know, with online and a CSA or something of that sort. But that's not really going to make the same kind of impact if we don't have the ways to process them and get them to folks pretty far removed from things.
Hmm. Dr. Michael Bell today. Professor Bell is the Philip David Lowe and Vilas Distinguished Achievement Professor. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, I've just been doing this for a while, and they keep making my title longer.
He's with the Department of Community and Environmental Sociology at UW-Madison as we talk with him about agroforestry. And there's a celebration of agroforestry coming up. We're certainly going to talk about that as well. And looking forward to your own thoughts and comments about agroforestry. Are you involved in it in some way? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you with us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here as we talk agroforestry with our guest today, Michael Bell from the Department of Community and Environmental Sociology at UW-Madison. He's also very involved with the Soil Health and Agroecological Living Lab, or SHAL, at UW, and they're co-hosting an event we're going to be talking about, too, coming up in a minute. Questions for him or comments or maybe an experience to share, you can join in the number 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. We'd love to hear from you. And we're having some calls coming on, and we'll be with us in just a minute or two. Here's a question I think any farmer is going to ask. How is this going to affect finances and a farm finances?
Hopefully not at all. It might actually increase the finances as we develop our specialty crops. Things like, of course, maple syrup, but newer things like the hazelnuts that we're trying to develop. Also, an exciting development now is trying to bring chestnuts back to the upper Midwest using a hybrid between Chinese chestnuts and the American chestnut. Oh, chestnuts, they're so good. They're so good. And then other things like the forest botanicals, like calendula and also ginseng, golden seal, mushrooms. These are all things that can be grown in your woods, and people can be eating them, and you can be making a tidy profit from.
Tanya in Stevens Point has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Tanya.
Hi. I am so glad that you guys are talking about this. I walk through my woods every day, and I just recently found hazelnut trees in there, and the mushrooms and all the medicinal plants and things, and I think, why isn't anybody harvesting this stuff, you know? And I thought about putting something together like a forage spot, you know, kind of like forest finders, you know, where people can just come and forage in there and enjoy it. But yes, getting crushed underneath those solar panels. Why can't we grow ginseng underneath there? And I live across the street, actually, from Heartland Farms Field. It is ridiculous. It's so frustrating to deal with the pesticides and the dust. And I just get devastated by the dust storms coming off their fields. And my main question is, are you talking to those farmers and encouraging them to do different practices? I talked to them one day about beneficial nematodes. They've never even heard of it.
Well, so that communication, thanks so much for the question. That communication piece is so crucial. And that's part of the reason why we're having this festival here in Madison, when we hope to repeat it elsewhere in the state in the future, what we're calling Savannah Jam. So a celebration of agroforestry. And putting music together with that and making the learning fun, I think part of the reason so often that folks don't know about some of the practices that they could be having is because we get disconnected from each other. And knowledge is so much, not just about facts, but about building connections. And so a festival, a place where people could come together, have fun with each other, hear beautiful music, have food together, and then suddenly you're building new networks, finding new friends, and say, oh, right, oh, you're growing mushrooms in your woods? Huh, maybe I'll try that too. Oh, wow, you can put up a windbreak. Hey, and then my dust won't blow off into my neighbors and it'll stay on my field. And at the same time, I'm going to harvest chestnuts from it. So all these possibilities there. It's so great to hear your appreciation of possibilities.
Tanya, thank you so much for calling. Let's talk about it. Is this the sort of mission, or maybe I should say, what is the mission of SHAL, the Soil Health and Agroecological Living Lab? Talk about its construction and what it's about.
Yeah, I think it is about us thinking about agriculture as about living. So it's not just about producing things, but it's also about all the relationships that are involved between farm and plate and all the people along the way, whether it's the farm owner, whether it is the farm workers, whether it's the folks who are doing the processing, the transporting, the chefs, the eating that goes on. And so we celebrate our connection with the environment in the most intimate of ways, I think. You know, I think one of the things that's important to remember is that our stomach is very close to our heart. So if you really want to get that connection of the environment to people, do it through their stomach. And I think we're really trying to do that with SHAL and this event that's coming up. And we're not the only ones. So, for example, the Savannah Institute is this fantastic new organization centered in Wisconsin. It's also in all of the Midwest now. It came from the work, mainly from the work of a former PhD student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Keith Keeley. They were a little tiny organization. They had like one employee, I think. And then they got Keith in there as their executive director after he finished his PhD with Steve Ventura as his chair. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know Steve. And
we talked about that on the show once.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, Savannah Institute now has 50 employees, and they have spun off a for-profit company called Canopy Farm Management, which is showing folks how you can really make a living at this. And people are making enough of a living at these techniques that they're willing to pay Canopy Farm Management to show them how to do it. So this is really practical stuff. It's not, well, I suppose it's a pie a little bit in the sky because trees are high, right? In, the, in a certain sense, right? Maybe you can make a chestnut pie or something of that sort. But it's really grounded at the same time, just like the roots of a tree are grounded. This stuff is possible. People are doing it. They're making money at it. And they are making our world a better place at the same time.
Mary Kay in Kenosha has a comment for us, I think. Mary Kay, hello.
Hi, I'd like to see some crabapple trees, some plum trees, some Brazil nuts if we could possibly have them, miniature peaches.
You've got a number of ideas. You have a number of crop ideas there, Mary Kay.
Absolutely, Mary Kay. And orchards, of course, is a very old tree-based practice, and people can bring these into their yards. I have a sour cherry tree in my yard. I have plum trees in my yard. I have hazelnuts in my yard. I have currants. That's another agroforestry crop that we've neglected. Currants are so tasty. Oh, they're so good. Right. So, yeah, there are all these possibilities, and we can do them in our home yards, too. But, of course, it's really going to make the biggest impact if we're doing them on farms.
Let's talk about your celebration of agroforestry. It's at Westmoreland Park in Madison. Actually, it's on Thursday evening.
Yes, it's coming up this Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. We love Westmoreland Park because it actually has a small oak savanna in it. It's a very sweet place to be in general. And we will have music. There'll be food. So we're going to get the fun in there and place for connection. Actually, my band is going to be one of the groups performing. It's called Zusammen, which means together in Yiddish and also in German. And then also Allison and Taylor Ackley, who are a nationally known folk duo, will be performing. Allison's actually from Madison originally, so that's part of the reason why we were able to get them to come and for this event. Zusammen will be 5:30 to 6:30, and then Allison and Taylor are 7 to 8. And in between, there's going to be a time to go and mingle with the booths that some 14 different sustainable agriculture and regenerative agriculture organizations will have there. Great opportunity to come and learn about these sustainable practices groups. Like, for example...
Yeah, give us some examples.
Yeah. The REAP Food Group. That's Research, Education, Action, and Policy on Food Group. The Worm Farm Institute, which is a rural arts organization. They're going to have two of these wonderful culture stands that they have, these old kind of farm wagon-y things that they've made into these beautiful artworks. They're just glorious. There'll be Grassland 2.0, which is actually a UW project about perennializing our landscape. They'll have a booth there. MITEI, the Mission to Improve Global Health Through Innovation, is also an organization started up by Valerie Stahl, who is a faculty associate and at Shell, actually, at the university. And that's an organization that she started up that really focuses on women's empowerment through agriculture, particularly in Africa. So she'll be there talking about her work. The Dane County Tree Board will be there. The Edible Landscapes Committee of the Madison Food Policy Council will be there. The Driftless Area Land Conservancy will be there. Savannah Institute will be there. And one more organization I want to mention, which is Savannah Sanctuary. This is a new organization here in Wisconsin. They have a beautiful farm very close to Governor Dodge State Park where you can go and rest and relax. And that's one of the beauties of trees is that shade and that beauty. And so they're also trying to integrate the arts and music into regenerating our land through agroforestry.
So that sounds like a lot of fun. So you hear some music, and then you have an opportunity to mingle with the folks that are in charge of their various organizations, and then hear some more music.
Exactly. And there's activities for kids. There'll be face painting. There'll be tree talks. There'll be a scavenger hunt for kids. So, yeah, bring the family, bring the friends. And it's supposed to be a beautiful evening.
And the price is right.
It is free. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. At courtesy of Shell and the University of Wisconsin, and as well, some of our partner organizations are also contributing.
If you type in Savannah Jam in your computer, it's probably going to come up if people want to learn some more about it. But it is Thursday evening, this coming Thursday, from 5 to 8. There is a rain date in case, but that's
Tuesday.
It's
supposed
Tuesday
to be beautiful. We're good. We don't need to worry about the rain date. We're going to be good. Yeah, it's supposed to be just a fantastic Wisconsin evening. I think we're maybe going to get a little of Taylor and Allison's music here.
To end it off.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you. Michael,
thank you so much for having me on the show.
Professor of Community and Environmental Sociology at UW-Madison. And in the background, you're hearing some of the music you might be hearing. Yeah, there it is. That's going to be a lot of fun, and it's Thursday night from 5 to 8. Thank you so much for listening today, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News. I'm Larry.